And to kick off this year's theme of rebuild, in the year of the rebuild, we are starting a series today for the next few weeks throughout the month of January called The Rebuild. And to kick off this message, we're going to read from the book of Ezekiel chapter 37, starting at verse 1. And if you're here, I want you to stand to your feet so that way we can read God's word together. I think we might have it on the screen. Shout out to our production team back there. We were having some screen issues, but they got it up and running. Y'all make some noise. So come on, somebody. Amen. And so we'll have the scripture up on the screen so that way you can follow along. But I just want to read just a few verses of Ezekiel chapter 37, starting at verse 1. And I think we're going to have it up on the screen. I want us to read it together, just all as one voice. I want us to be on one accord. So I'm going to look at it as well. And here's what it says in Ezekiel chapter 37, beginning at verse 1. Let's read together. 1, 2, 3. The hand of the Lord was on me, and he brought me out by his spirit, and he set me down in the middle of the valley. It was full of bones. Verse 2, he led me all around them, and there were a great many of them on the surface on the valley, and they were very dry. And then he said to me, son of man, can these bones live? And I replied, Lord God. So I'm calling today's message, as we kick off this new series, The Rebuild, calling today's message, let God build it. Let God build it. I want you to find somebody across the room next to you if you feel comfortable, and I just want you to say, let God build it. Let God build it. Amen. Let God build it. You can go to your seat. Father, we thank you for your presence and power. We thank you for your word, and I pray, Lord, in the name of Jesus, that you would speak to us today. Give us clarity. Give us confidence in your word. I pray, God, that you would renew us, refresh us, bring us to life where there are dead areas. We receive your word even now in Jesus' name. And every person said, amen. Let God build it. And if you're watching online, family, here's what I need you to do. And for all of us who are in person, we're streaming this on Facebook right now. So if you could do me a favor and click the share button so that way other people can experience the word of God today and receive from God. And if we could just turn these lights up just a tad bit up here so I can see the beautiful faces of those who journeyed out here this morning. Let God build it, Ezekiel chapter 37. Just by show of hands, how many of y'all believe that 2020 was a different type of year? I need y'all to raise your hand in the chat. 2020 was different. Somebody say different. 2020 was different. 2020 was a year like none other. And I believe that 2020 did a number on many of us in some way or fashion. The pandemic, in many ways, brought us to where we are today. And in many ways, we're still navigating this pandemic. The pandemic started around March 15th was actually when things kind of really began to shut down, for lack of better words. And since March of last year till now, there have been countless deaths after death. There was an article that recently was put out by Johns Hopkins University and CDC that said that December was the deadliest month of the pandemic since it started. That April was originally the highest month of deaths that took place, over 50,000. But the month of December registered close to 80,000 deaths due to COVID. And I think we can all agree on the fact that in many ways, 2020 caused and brought forth a lot of destruction, a lot of death. We saw not just the pandemic happen, we saw a lot of civil unrest take place. We saw racial injustices taking place. We saw political hostility take place, which we're still navigating right now. And many of us, if we would kind of swoop down and take an assessment and a survey of our own life and landscape our own life, we could even see that there's been some relational strain that we've dealt with. In our marriage, parents with your kids, kids with your parents. You've been in the crib with your parents for the past almost a year, and they are getting on your nerves. Parents are like, you getting on my nerves too. Let's just call it what it is. All of us are strained in some way. All of us are navigating this difficult moment in this difficult season. 2020 in many ways carried and captured the essence of difficulty. Businesses closed, small businesses, large businesses. Another article recently put out how the homicide rate was up almost 30% from January of 2019 to October of 2019, or it was up from January of last year to October of last year compared to the year before. So even though people are at home, people are killing each other in greater numbers. 2020, y'all, it's hard. It was difficult. And in many ways, it left our lives in pieces. Which brings us here to Ezekiel chapter 37 and what we first see here. Because the first thing that we see here in Ezekiel chapter 37, as God is taking his prophet Ezekiel through this visionary experience that he's having, he's allowing him to have this crazy out-of-body dream type experience. He's allowing him to see a valley of dry bones. And it is a picture, I think, in many ways, of what we can identify with of last year, which is this. It is a picture of ruins. If you're taking notes, that's the first thing I want you to write down. The ruins that we see. And it's interesting because here in Ezekiel 37, around verse 1, Ezekiel says that the hand of the Lord was upon me. And not only was he upon me, but he led me into a valley by his spirit in the middle of a valley, and it was full of bones. And there was a great many of them on the surface of the valley. And watch this, they were very dry, which means it had been taking place for some time. The bones weren't just dead and dry. He says they were very dry. Some translations say it was bleached out by the sun because it had been present there so long. It had been a situation in a moment of despondency and of death and decay for so long. And here in this passage, this prophet by the name of Ezekiel, the prophet was somebody specifically in the Old Testament that God would give visions to and messages to for the people and the nations to hear. Prophets were oftentimes known as God's mouthpieces. And Ezekiel is no different. And the book of Ezekiel is based upon the ministry of the prophet Ezekiel, who God sent to go declare these messages of judgment, these messages of warning, these messages of sometimes encouragement, ultimately to get people to turn back to God. Also to show them what would happen if they continued to stray away from God. And God here has brought Ezekiel and given him this vision. And by the time of Ezekiel chapter 37, God is speaking to Ezekiel, and he gives him this picture of this valley of dry bones, which represents the covenant people. These bones represent people who once lived. These bones represented the house of Israel, known as the people of God, or the children of God, the covenant people of God in your Old Testament. And God is giving Ezekiel this vivid picture of what life looks like that has been disconnected from God. And I think with all of the stuff that we experienced in 2020, I think maybe the greatest death and the greatest difficulty that may have took place in 2020 was lives being disconnected from God. Lives that may have drifted from God. And notice what Ezekiel says later on around verse 11, that he had brought about the death that their sin had brought them to this place of decay. And one writer says it like this: their sin had brought about the death of the nation of Israel. And I want us to not play around with this thing called sin. We don't like to talk about sin a whole lot. We like to try to dress it up. I made a mistake. No, that's sin. And Jesus went to the cross to die on it. That's pretty serious, to die for it. And because of the sin, which leads to destruction, which leads to death, it led to the destruction and to the death of the people of God in many ways. And God, I think, is trying to help us to understand something, that when you drift from me, when you lean away from me, when you lean on your own understanding, when you begin to believe more in yourself and more in culture and more in society and more in this country than you do in me, you are dying a slow death. And eventually, you will look like this valley of dry bones. And what Ezekiel sees in this moment as he's walking through this valley is nothing but death. Nothing but decay. It is a discouraging picture. It is a depressing picture. It is a valley full of bones. And if you know anything about a valley is a low place. It is a depressed place, if you will. I think many of us can kind of identify with that. Because some of you are last year in 2020 and still are battling with it right now, you found yourself in a depressed place. in a low place. If we could be honest, many of us, I think, had some low moments last year. I had some low moments last year. I remember them like clockwork. It was around June when all the racial unrest was happening, and I just wanted to burn everything down. I wanted to get my Killmonger on from Black Panther, burn it all. And then the Lord snapped me back. I think in many ways, all of us have been in this low floor, this low place, this low state of mind that we've experienced. These bones here represent something, family. They represent something that was once alive, something that was once thriving, but now death has occurred. This valley is filled with ruins. Everybody say ruins. And if we could be honest today, this picture that Ezekiel sees here in Ezekiel chapter 37, I think in many ways is similar to the picture that we experienced last year in 2020. Because 2020, family, was not the picture perfect year. Nobody would have just volunteered for 2020 had you known everything that was going to come. And here's what's crazy. Many of us came into 2020, let's just be real. Like, this is 2020. This is the year where I'm going to see things clearly. This is going to be the year where I see God do incredible things. That may be true, but he may not do it the way you expect. What if God bringing about clarity was allowing you to go through chaos? What if God bringing about power and purpose, the pathway to it was pain? Y'all do realize, family, that anytime a birth takes place, that means pain had to precede it. Did y'all hear what I said? I don't think y'all heard. Anytime a birthing takes place, pain always precedes it. Ask any mother who has given birth to children. We celebrate, oh, he's so cute and cuddly. But before that joker got here, there was a lot of pain that was involved with that. All the moms, can I get a good amen? Amen. It wasn't as pretty as it looks on TV. Would a baby come out all nice and clean? How did baby just get pumped out and just is wrapped up in swaddling cloth? No blood, no nothing. God says, no. Sometimes the pathway to purpose is pain. And the question I think that God may be asking many of us is, how's your pain threshold? Or maybe can I say it like this? What is your plan for pain? How do you work through the pain? Pain of 2020. And in many ways, we're here today saying what the people say in this text later on in verse 11 in this vision. Our bones are dried up, watch this, and our hope has perished. Some of us, 2020 left us feeling hopeless. Let's just be real. Some of y'all came into 2021 like, man, listen, who they fooling? Would they just think January 1st, magically, all of a sudden, everything's going to change? I still got the same bills, the same drama, the same baby mama drama, the same baby daddy drama. My kids are still acting crazy. My finances still look low. It wasn't like all of a sudden January 1st and I looked at my bank account and all of a sudden there was going to be an increase unless that stimulus package came through for you. Some of y'all know what I'm talking about. Can I pause parenthetically and say this to some of us who are like, $600? That's it? Let me just be real. That's $600 more than you had before. I'm not saying it shouldn't be more. I'm saying you just need to learn to give God thanks for what he's provided. Amen. Ain't no amens there. Y'all wanted that $2,000. I can see y'all wanted that. Especially y'all who got kids. Oh, yeah, y'all wanted that. But I believe in many ways, we found ourselves in this pain place, in this difficult place, and everything is in ruins. And it feels like we are in this impossible situation. Here's the best thing I think we need to do. I think in this season of 2021, we need to acknowledge the reality of our situation and be honest about it. This is a dead situation. There have been deaths upon deaths. We got to call it what it is. We can't dress it up. We can't skirt around it. We can't finesse it. No. We got to be honest and be real about it. It has not been the best year. Marriage is not the best right now. Health is not the best right now. Spiritual vitality is not the best right now. We got to call it what it is, which brings me to this plant right here. This is a plant that did not once look like this in my house. I don't know that, what's the name of this plant, Ariel? A fiddle fig leaf. Fiddle something, just Google it. And this tree once was, I mean, plant was once vibrant and it had big leaves on it. Some of y'all can Google it after service and Google it right now, whatever, so you can get a visual. But it had green leaves. I want you to imagine with me. It had green leaves and it was much bigger than this. And we had this sitting on our table in the living room so that way it can get a lot of light and get everything it needed. But then we started to notice that it started turning brown. Then we tried to put more water on it and we tried to give it more light and leaves started to fall off. And we got this last year. 2020 did a number on my plant. Even the plants was like, yo, it's been rough. Bro, let me tell you something. Y'all had it rough. Look at me. Some of y'all lives look like this right now. Let's just be real. Like, yo, I was thriving at first. When March hit, I was like, yo, I'ma thrive in this pandemic. But by the time June came, I was struggling. Y'all know what I'm talking about? And we were watering it, and month after month, it began to deteriorate, and then all the leaves fell off. But I was like, man, we're not gonna give up on it. And we prayed over this thing, and we fasted over this, and we travailed over it. Some of y'all know nothing about travailing. It's tarrying before the Lord. We were seeking God about this. God, if you can raise Jesus from the grave, we named her Bo, you can raise Bo from the grave. If you could raise your son from the dirt, you can raise Bo too. Some of y'all like, Pastor, you can pray that prayer all you want. That plant didn't come back. But something strange actually did happen. Bo began to have a little bit of budding that took place, which then turned into a leaf. Some of y'all are putting two and two together. So then what happened, Pastor? What happened to the leaf? The leaf fell off last week. 2020, y'all. I'm trying to tell y'all, it's been rough. Y'all know what I'm talking about online. It's been rough. Your life looks like this right now. Let's call it what it is. And so Ariel was like, I came in the house earlier this week and I saw her messing with Bo. We call it this plant Bo. And Bo was in a much bigger pot than this. It was probably a little bit rounder, a little bit bigger than that. And I saw her and she had Bo by the neck. And I was like, hey, what are you doing? She said, look here, boy. Look at his roots. His roots are done. His roots are decayed. I said, we can't give up on Bo. Just because 2020 did this to her, we can't give up on her. God can resurrect. And so she said, all right, well, she ain't gonna stay in the main table in the living room. So when people happen to come by, once it's safe to come by, people just see this on the living room table. Bo got to move to the back. And so then she took what was left of Bo and planted her in this little potter right here. I just want y'all to know, Ariel wants to give up on Bo. But I believe the Lord spoke to me and said, son of man, can this plant live? And my response was just like Ezekiel, Lord, only you know. Only you know if she can live. But I'm not gonna give up on her. Which brings me to the second part of what we see here in Ezekiel 37. Because we see the ruins, and the question that many of us are asking after last year is, can I recover? Verse 3, son of man, can these bones live? I reply, Lord God, only you know. And many of us are here today asking, can I bounce back from 2020? Can I recover from 2020? Can 2021 be a year that's greater than last year? And I'm here to prophetically tell you a strong answer, yes, you can bounce back. I thought I would get a few more amens than that. Yes, 2021 can be greater and better than 2020. You can recover. You can move forward. And I know you're looking at a valley that's filled with bones and filled with decay and filled with destruction. But I want you to know God sent me here today and sent you here on this first Sunday in the month of January of 2021 to let you know God specializes in bringing dead things back to life. And he proves it to us here in Ezekiel 37. How can you say that confidently, Pastor Edwin? How can your life recover from last year? Here is the answer. It's the title of my sermon. Let God build it. Let God rebuild it. And here in verse 4, here's what you see. Here's the second point. We can assess that our life is filled with ruins. But we need to move to the place of understanding that though we have much ruin in our life, God wants to do a rebuild. That's the second point, the rebuild. Everybody say the rebuild. I need you to get that in your heart this year. Everybody say the rebuild. 2021 is going to be the year of the rebuild. And notice here in the text what happens. God tells Ezekiel to prophesy, to declare, to speak, to preach. And he gives them this instruction, preach to this, prophesy to that, and watch what he says. He says, I want you to say these words. Dry bones, hear the word of the Lord. This is what the Lord God says to these bones. I will cause breath to enter you, and you will live. Verse 6, I will put tendons on you, make flesh grow on you, and cover you with skin. Next one, I will put breath in you so that you come to life. Then you will know that I am the Lord. Do you see the common thread here? I will do it. I will cause it to happen. I will breathe life into it. I will speak over it. Not you, Ezekiel. Not your friends. Not Fox News. Not CNN. Not what's in your bank account. I will do it. And I love the fact that God does not put the pressure on us to rebuild our lives because we can't do it on our own. God says it is not by power nor by might, but only by my spirit. God is saying to you today, you may think you got to rebuild your life. I'm here to tell you I'll do it for you. Doesn't mean that you don't play a role in it, but God is saying, I want you to understand that I am the chief architect here. I am the master builder here. He says, I'm going to cause breath to enter. I will put tendons on you. I will put breath in you. And here's what happens in the passage of Scripture, family. This once dead army and community of people have now been restored and revived and rebuilt. Why? Because God did it. Maybe 2021 should just be the year of God did it. When you look back in December of this year, 11 months from now, you should be able to look back and say, God did it. In spite of all that I faced, God did it. In spite of all that I experienced, God did it. I'm here to tell you today, let God do it. Let God rebuild it, because God is able to rebuild your life no matter the condition of your life. I know 2020 did a number on all of us, and I know many of us in here are facing challenges right now. You are still dealing with the residue of 2020, but I want to encourage you to let you know today that no matter the condition of your life, it does not restrain the character of our God. It does not limit the power of our God. It means this, even if you find yourself in a dead moment, God knows how to bring life to it. God knows how to revive it. I want you to write this down, take a screenshot of it. Online family, take a screenshot right now. Here's what it says. God specializes in rebuilding what's been ruined. I'm gonna say it again because I don't know if you got it. God specializes in rebuilding what's been ruined. But in order for you and I to experience the rebuild, here's the key. You gotta let him do it. I know that's tough for many of us because we like to micromanage our life. But God is saying, I need you to take your hands off and let me do it. I need you to let me lead the building efforts. which is why Ezekiel responds the way he does in Ezekiel 37, verse 3. When God asks him, son of man, can these bones live? What does Ezekiel say? Yeah, I know they can live. I'm going to do it. No, no, no. He says, only you know, Lord. In other words, Ezekiel is making a profession of faith saying, Lord, I can't do anything about this. This is above me now. I'm going to let you handle this. I'm putting this in your hands. I'm giving this year to you. I tried to do it my way in 2020. I tried to make it happen in my own strength in 2020. But Ezekiel understands, if the Lord don't do it, it ain't gonna happen. And I know that's not good English, but it's good theology. If he ain't doing it, it ain't gonna work. How do I know this to be true? Here's what Psalm 127 verse 1 says. Unless the Lord builds a house, its builders labor over in vain. What does this mean? In other words, if God ain't the architect of your life is going to fall apart. I'm going to say it again. If God is not the architect of your life, if God is not the one who is building your life, if God is not the one who is designing your life will fall apart. I'm not making it up. It's not something I'm saying. I'm saying this is what the scripture says. It says, if the Lord doesn't do it, the builders labor in vain. Which means you could be putting forth all your energy, all your strategy, all your resource, all your mental intellect, all your intelligence, but if the Lord ain't in it, it ain't gonna work. And I believe 2020 may have showed us something about ourselves, how we think we are God more than God is. God, I got this. Let me just finesse my way. I'll take care of it. And God in his loving grace is like, okay. All right, well, let's see how that works out. And crumbles and collapses. And I believe a major part of the reason why our lives often fall apart is because we try to build our lives without God. You try to build a marriage without God, it won't work. You try to build a career without God, you won't experience fulfillment. You may be rich, but you will be spiritually poor. You try to build a life without God, it will eventually fall apart. 2021 needs to be the year where we say, Lord, I've tried it my way, but this year I want you to build it. Lord, my life looks like Ezekiel 37, this valley of dry bones, and only you know what to do about it. This is beyond me. I don't have the mental intellect to be able to handle this. I don't have the resource to be able to handle this. And this is why we're starting this year with fasting and praying, because it's posturing us in a place of dependency on God. And many of us have been trying to figure out, God, why is my life not working? Because you left me out of it. Why is this falling apart? Because you didn't put me at the center of it. Because you X'd me out. And I'm not trying to condemn us. I'm trying to actually help us to see that God is saying, not only can I build your life and rebuild it, I want to. God is a gracious God and a loving God who says, I love you too much to leave you that way. And I thank God that God loves us so much that he does not leave us in the same condition that he finds us. 2021 has to be the year where God rebuilds us. How does God rebuild? He rebuilds, one, with his word. Everybody say his word. His word. His scripture. He rebuilds with his word. Notice Ezekiel multiple times he says in this passage of scripture. Later on, he says, hear the word of the Lord. This is what the Lord God says. This is what the Lord God has pronounced. The word is the way in which the army was rebuilt. When you look at verse 4 or verse 7, notice what it says. So I prophesied, spoke the word as I had been commanded. And while I was prophesying, there was a noise, a rattling sound, and the bones came together, bone to bone. And as I looked, tendons appeared on them, flesh grew, and skin covered them, but there was no breath in them. He said to me, prophesy to the breath, prophesy, son of man, say to it, this is what the Lord God says, breath, come from the four winds and breathe into these slain so that they may live. So I prophesied as he commanded, and the breath entered them, and they came to life and stood on their feet, a vast army. There's two things that God uses to build things and to rebuild things. The first is his word, his spoken word, his written word. Do y'all remember the book of Genesis when God created things? In Genesis chapter 1, in the beginning, God. Let me stop there. That is a line that should characterize our year and our life. In the beginning, God. Our life and our year should start with God. Book of Revelation, the last book of the Bible, ends with God. Everything in between is with God. Here's the principle. Our life should start with God, be with God, end with God. In the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. Verse 2, now the earth was formless and empty, darkness covered the surface of the watery depths, and the Spirit of God was hovering over the surface of the waters. Watch verse 3. Then God, what? Come on, y'all, I think y'all can get it. Then God, what? He spoke it. Let there be light. And there was light. With his word, he spoke things. He created things. With his word, God is going to rebuild your life. With his word, God is going to reform your life. With his word, God is going to restructure your life. And here is the principle. Your life can't be rebuilt apart from God's word. I'm going to say it one more time. Your life cannot be built or rebuilt apart from God's word, which means this. This is the year where you and I constantly need to be in the word of God. Let's be real. Can I just be honest in here today? We say things like, I don't got time to read the word, but you'd be on Instagram all day. You got time, you just gave it to other things that were more important. Oh, Pastor, I don't got time to pray to God and to talk to God. Yo, you watch ESPN 6 hours a day. What you mean? Somebody say, what you mean? I told us 2021 needs to be the year where we stop fooling ourselves. Call it what it is. God has not been the priority. I don't say that as a condemnation. I say that as the first step to recovery. Alcoholics Anonymous even understands this, that the first step to recovery is admitting there's a problem. And the problem is you won't be seeking God. A sight, but it's right. And God is saying, but let me rebuild. Start with my word. I'm not calling us to be in the word all day long. No. And then, you know, your boss is calling you. Why you ain't here? I'm in the word. Leave me alone. Pink slip. But Pastor, you told me to get in the word and the Lord would take care of me. I didn't tell you to be in the word all day. You got to be faithful. But you need to be in the word. Why do we need to be in the word? We get in the word so God's word can get in us. And oftentimes what happens is, when the enemy brings difficulties our way, if we have not been anchored down by the word of God, we get blown away. That's what Jesus talks about in Matthew 7, that the house that's not built on my word, the life that's not built on my word, when the storm comes and the winds blow and the rain comes, that house, that life will collapse with a great fall. And I think in many ways, 2020, maybe part of the reason why our lives fell apart is because we didn't allow God to build our life with his word. But God is saying, this year, I'm going to rebuild it. I'm going to declare my word over you. That this is going to be the year that your life is shaped by his word. We are to be a people of the word of God. Here's what Hebrews chapter 4 says. For the word of God is living and effective, sharper than any double-edged sword, penetrating as far as the separation of soul and spirit, joints and marrow. It is able to judge the thoughts and intentions of the heart. Notice what it says in the beginning. For the word of God is alive. It is living. This is why you need the word of God in your life. Because if you find yourself in a dead situation, you need something alive to resuscitate you. Ah, here's the revelation. Dead people can't resuscitate dead people. Have you ever seen a corpse given another corpse mouth-to-mouth resuscitation? It takes somebody who is alive to resuscitate, to breathe breath into that person to help jumpstart that which did not have a pulse to bring it to a place of life, which leads me to the second thing that God uses to rebuild things, not just his word, but his spirit. His spirit. Somebody say his spirit. I need us to be a people this year where we are a people of the Spirit of God. And notice what verse 8 says. I looked and tendons appeared on them. Flesh grew and skin covered them, but there was no breath in them. In other words, You can have a form, but if you don't have a filling, you have nothing. And many of us got form, but no filling. And he said to me, prophesy to the breath, prophesy, son of man, say to it, this is what the Lord God says, breath, come from the four winds and breathe into these slain so that they may live. So I prophesied as he commanded me. The breath entered them, and they came to life and stood on their feet, a vast army. The word breath here is the Old Testament Hebrew word ruah. In the New Testament, it is pneuma. It is also where we get our English word pneumonia. Y'all see the connection? Because it has to do with your breathing. I believe last year when we think about COVID-19, and how COVID-19 affects people, the chief way it affects people is in their breathing. Shortness of breath. Lungs being filled up with phlegm and fluid to where it begins to suffocate from the inside out. And I believe in some way it's a picture spiritually of what maybe has happened to many people in our day and our time. There has been a suffocation in our lives due to sinfulness. And it has caused us to be depleted of the life and the vitality that God wants us to experience. But I hear God saying to us today, I want to breathe a new life into you. I'm going to breathe my spirit into you. This is why the book of Acts talks about when, on the day of Pentecost, when the disciples were gathered in the upper room, that the Bible talks about how the Holy Spirit came in, and the only thing they could use to describe it, it was like a rushing wind. It was a wind. Everybody say wind. It is the breath of God. Now, one preacher that I won't name last year said, COVID-19, we blow on you and breathe on you, be gone. That didn't work. But in theory, spiritually, it is what we need. We need God to breathe on us again. We need God to breathe into our marriages, into our relationships, into our careers, into our gifts, into our talents, into our abilities, into our finances, into our health. We need God to breathe. Somebody say breathe. It is God blowing on you. It's the same way God created Adam and Eve. Remember, the Bible says that he formed them out of the dirt, but there was no life in them, and he breathed life into them. A breath of fresh air. Many of us in here, you feel like 2020 just took all the air out of the room, and you're like, man, 2021, Father, I need a breath of fresh air. And I hear God saying to you today, I want to give you a breath of fresh air this year. I want to breathe into you. Because it is the Spirit who gives us life. It is the Spirit who empowers us to walk in power. And the principle is this. You need God to breathe into those dead areas in your life. It is not going to come by ingenuity this year. It is not going to come by strategy. I believe that many of you have dreams and goals and aspirations that God has birthed on the inside of you. But I want you to understand, it will not come to pass based upon your own strength. It will only come to pass by God breathing on it. God, we need you to fill us. We need you to resuscitate us. We need you to revive us. Anybody here need a resuscitation from God? Anybody here need a revival from God? God, I need you to breathe. God is saying, this is going to be the year that I rebuild, but I'm going to rebuild by my spirit. We need less finesse and more filling. Less finesse, more filling. What do I mean by finesse? We need less trying to finesse and move and make moves and be strategic and do this and do that. I know you're gifted and I know you're talented, but I want you to understand, if God ain't in it, it ain't gonna work. You need God to breathe on it. And even as Christians, if we're not careful, we could become so dependent on our skills and our abilities that we become intoxicated with it, thinking we no longer need the breath of God. And then that leads to us being dried up. God says, the dry areas in your life, I'm gonna breathe on them. The difficult areas of your life, I wanna breathe on it. You got a career? I'm going to breathe on it. You got some goals in mind? I'm going to breathe on it. And I'm making an appeal to us today, family. Let God breathe. What does that mean? What do you mean by let God breathe on it? It means that we have this posture. Lord, not my will, but yours be done. For young people, God, not my will, what college do you want me to go to? For young people, what ambition do you want me to follow? For people who are married, God, how do you want to build our marriage? For those who own businesses, how do you want to function? How do you want the business to function? What do you want to do? How do you want to use it? How do you want to get glory? Not my will, let yours be done. 2020 needs to be the year where we leave our will aside. And 2021 needs to be the year where we say, only you know, Lord. I need your spirit. I need you to breathe on us. Our cry this year should be, Lord, fill me with your Holy Spirit so that I can talk like you, live like you, love like you. You want to know one of the most difficult things that took place in 2020? And it had a lot to do with the church. It was surrounding politics, where Christians were backbiting other Christians. Christians were dogging other Christians. Christians were worshiping certain political figures. And that is a picture of a community of people who have stepped outside of the Spirit of God. But I believe God is calling us to get into agreement with his spirit, because when we get in agreement with his spirit and alignment with his spirit, that's when the favor of God begins to flow. If you want favor to flow in your house, get in line with the spirit of God. If you want favor to flow in your relationships, get in line with the favor in the spirit of God. If you want favor to flow all around you, get in line with the spirit. We need to be a spirit-filled people this year. And I believe this is going to be the year where God does some incredible things in your life. But every day you need to be yielding yourself to the Spirit of God. And I want to close with this thought, family. We need God to rebuild our lives. Not you, not me. He has to do it. And here's the good news today. I want you to get this in your heart. I want you to write this on Facebook. I want you to comment on the comment section. I want you to write it down and get it in your heart this week and meditate on it as we're preparing for fasting and prayer in a week's time. I want us to begin to align ourselves and say, God, I need you to rebuild me. I need you to step in. I need you to breathe. I need you to declare. I need you to speak. I know last year was crazy, and I know 2020 hurt you, and I know 2020 was filled with grief, but I hear God saying today, this is the year of the rebuild. This is the year where I'm going to do a new thing. This is the year where I'm going to bring forth transformation. I know your life fell apart, and I know your marriage was on the rocks, and I know in many ways you hit rock bottom. But you know what the good news is about hitting rock bottom? Is when you hit rock bottom, you end up having an encounter with the rock. Not Dwayne Johnson. Not a people's elbow. Not a rock bottom. Not a people's eyebrow. When you hit rock bottom, it means you have hit the rock. And the last time I checked, there was a name that describes the name of our God. That he is the rock of Gibraltar. That he is the rock of all ages. That he is the rock. And I love the fact that God, later on, some hundreds of years later, through the form and the son of his son, Jesus Christ, took Jesus Christ, the rock, placed him on a cross, shed his blood on the cross for your sin and my sin, crucified, killed, even said, into your hands I commit my spirits. And on Friday, people thought it was done. It was a valley moment, and it looked like dry bones. And on Friday, it was dead. And on Saturday, it was dead. But on Thursday morning, Sunday morning, what the people did not understand was they took the rock off the cross and placed the rock into another rock. And that rock that was laying in a rock stayed in a rock on Friday, stayed in a rock on Saturday, but on Sunday morning, God, by the power of his spirit, the same spirit that revived these dry bones in Ezekiel chapter 37, verses 1 through 14, revived his son, the rock, who was in the rock. And then the Bible says, the rock rolled away the rock. I don't know if you caught everything that I just said right there, but I want you to understand today that God is saying, this is the year of the rebuild. This is the year where I'm doing new things. This is the year where I'm speaking life. And I'm bringing forth transformation. And I believe when it's all said and done, our words will be exactly what verse 11 of Ezekiel 37 says. Then he said to me, son of man, these bones are the people of Israel. They say our bones are dried up and our hope is gone. We are cut off. Therefore prophesy and say to them, this is what the sovereign Lord says. My people, I am going to open your graves and bring you up from them. Such a picture of Jesus. I will bring you up back to the land of Israel. Watch this. Then you, my people, will know that I am the Lord. When I open your graves and bring you up from them, I will put my spirit in you and you will live and I will settle you in your own land. Then you will know that I, the Lord, have spoken and have done it, declares the Lord. This is going to be the year where we say, God did it. God rebuilt it. God built it. It's his will. It's his spirit. It's his word. He's the one who did it. That's what God wants us to get. That God is the one who's doing it. Not by power, not by might, but by his spirit, says the Lord. If you're struggling right now, I need you to understand something. It's not going to come by you getting yourself out of the situation. No. It's going to come by God rebuilding it. And I hear God saying, if I could raise my son Jesus out of the grave after being dead for 3 days, I can rebuild and resurrect your life after a year like 2020. If I could get Jesus out of the grave, I can get you into a new year and do a new thing. I can revive. I can restore. I can rebuild. Why? Because with God, all things are possible to those that believe. And I just want to know, is there anybody in the house and in person or watching online who believes this is going to be the year? I believe God will do it. I believe that God is going to rebuild. I believe that God is going to restore. I'm going to ask us to stand to our feet here in person because I believe that God wants to do a new thing on the inside of us. I know your life is in ruins, but the good news of the gospel is God is a God who rebuilds. God is a God who majors in taking broken things and putting them back together. God, I want y'all to understand something. God majors in taking nothing and turning it into something. He's been doing it forever, y'all. He majors in this. This is what he does. And I get it, many of us walked through 2020 and even came into this year hopeless. God, I don't know if you could do it. I don't know if anything better can come out of it. And I hear God saying, I can do it. I can restore. I hear God saying, check my receipts, fam. This is what I do. This is who I am. I built you from nothing. That's how I created you. But God, my life has fallen apart since then. Well, guess what? Just happens to be I specialize in rebuilding things again. And I hear God once again say, if I did it before, I'll do it again. If I did it before, I'll do it again. If I restored it before, I'll restore it again. We'll do it. But the question is, are we going to trust him? Are we going to believe in him? Are we going to walk by faith and not by sight? Are we going to say, God, I don't know where you're leading me and I don't know what you're doing right now, but I'm trusting you. I'm trusting that you got the plans and I'm trusting that you got the guide. And I don't know. I feel like I'm walking through a fog, but I'm going to trust you. And I believe that when we do that, we will see God do immeasurably great things, more than we could ever ask or imagine. I'm going to ask us with our heads bowed and with our eyes closed. I believe that God is speaking to many of you right here today. And God is speaking to you saying, I want to rebuild your life. And many of you have tried to build your life in your own power, in your own strength. It has not worked. But God is saying today, hey, I know you're tired. I know you're exhausted from 2020, trying to keep up, trying to parent your kids, trying to do homeschool, trying to do virtual learning, trying to run a business, trying to work a job, trying to do this, trying to do that. And I hear God saying, why don't you give me a try and let me do it? Let me breathe. Let me declare my word over you, because my word never returns back void. And my power supersedes anything that you will ever experience. I hear God speaking that to you today. If you're here today and you're saying, Pastor Edwin, I want Jesus in my life. I want to receive the power of God. I want to receive the Spirit of God. I want to be in a relationship with God. I no longer want to try to build my life my own way. No, I want God to do it His way. If this is your desire, I want you to say these words after me. Say, Jesus, I give you my life. I believe that you died on the cross for my sins, that you raised back to life in 3 days to give me life and life more abundantly. Jesus, be my Lord. Jesus, be my Savior. Thank you for new life. Thank you for saving me. In your name I pray. And every person said amen. Can we put our hands together for those who have said yes to Jesus today? Come on, I need y'all to do better than that. Come on. Come on, make some noise. Come on, if you believe that God is going to rebuild some things this year, come on. If you believe that God is going to restore some things this year, if you believe that God is going to revive some things this year, come on, I need you to make some noise. I need you to shout with a voice of triumph. Come on.